Would you welcome and honor Todd Lout?
Thank you. I get kind of sweaty up here. The moment he asked me to preach, the word that I heard inside is might. Might. Let's just say that word, might. We're going to talk about might a little bit. Speaking of might, can some of my young friends come up here with me? You guys just have a seat wherever you could find one back here. They are going to be checking you out while I'm talking to you a little bit. They are. Let me tell you that I'm talking about might, but I'm not using them as a security blanket, I promise you. Okay? But these are David's mighty men right here, and women. And I love to have them over with me, and I'm going to refer to them here and there during this little time here. We're going to have them give you some words all throughout this message right now. So, you guys just keep your spiritual eyes open and just be praying. All right, I want to declare a prayer over you guys. So let's just receive what the Lord wants to do. Let's agree together. God, you are mighty. You are holy. You are a mighty man of war, a mighty man of peace. You are a man of zeal, zeal, zeal. We're going to have zeal in this house tonight. And I thank you, God, and I ask tonight that you bring a spirit of might, bring might deep in the inner man of everybody in this room in the name of Jesus. I ask, God, that there is truly a change in all of us, God, that deep inside we're really changed forever, changed with might deep inside of us, God, strong, because you're good. You're a good, good God. You're a good daddy. Amen. All right. I'm calling this ingredients of might. All right. I also saw some things for tonight. I feel like there's just going to be a few different little things that are going to take place during this time. Whenever I preach, I don't even call it preaching. I just like to share, you know. I like to share something with you. And share and do. And at our youth group, we like to have interactive preaching pretty much the time. We usually try to do something where we kind of put into practice some things. This develops might inside of them. It really does. They become mighty when they step in that room because they have opportunity to do something. We don't just talk, we do. I want to say what might is. This is dictionary.com right here. Okay. All right. Physical strength. He swung with all his might. Physical strength. Superior power or strength. Force. Okay. The theory that might makes right. And the power or ability to do or accomplish. The power or ability to do or accomplish. Capacity, the might of the ballot box. You get that? I mean, you're just walking into a ballot box, and you have might because you're gonna make a decision here. You know, that might change the world. Vigor, force, energy at one's command. They pulled with might. All right. I want to declare this is part of you. This is your nature. You are mighty, Lonnie. You are mighty. I want to tell you this. We're all going toward might, but here's some cool stuff right here, just before we go on. If you are here at all because you're hungry for the love of God, you're hungry for the face of God, you've got some might going on. Okay? So if you came here and you were heavy laden, heavy burdened, if you came here and issues, negative issues were overtaking you and taking your mind to a place where it really does not belong, let me just tell you the truth. Oh, oops, you got some might there. Okay? Because you're hungry for God. Okay? In fact, in this day and age, if you are coming after God at all, you're mighty. Okay? But you can be even more mighty. And we'll talk about that. Okay? I believe this was his word for tonight. Just might. Might, might, might. I want to establish, though, who our Father is. We've got to understand who he is. We've got to understand over and over and over and over again who he is. You know what I'm saying? Because day after day, we'll wake up sometimes and instantly go, it's a bad day, or it's going to be a bad day, or I don't feel right, or whatever. And right away, we're forgetting that the King of the universe, the one who made everything, the mighty man, is our daddy, you know? We got to remember over and over and over again, okay? So let me just, you can study all through the Word of God and find out so many ways to describe Papa there. He's awesome. He's awesome. He's got a rainbow all around him. There's a sapphire stone, he looks like, you know. His throne is crazy. There's thunderings and lightnings. His voice is like many waters and like thunder. This is your dad, all right? Psalms 147:5 says, "Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite." His understanding is infinite. And then the Bible tells us to look for understanding. Well, where do we get it? He's got an endless supply, yeah? It's like diving into an ocean full of something that you're looking for, and it's what you're in. You know what I'm saying? You're swimming right through the very thing you're looking for. He has understanding that's infinite. And we need understanding, and we're going to get to that in a minute. Isaiah 42:13. This is the Amplified. The Lord will go forth. You know what? You need to buckle your seatbelt for this. Let me just say this. There's the Bible, okay? And sometimes we open it up and we go, "The Lord is my strength and my shield." You know, sometimes we just need to put a little stank on the scripture when we're reading it. You know what I mean? Because if we were reading to our kids a story, we would, right? I mean, if we were saying, "And the big giant came, oh, you know, you need to put a little bit of zeal into reading the powerful word of God, which is life. I'm going to do that right now. The Lord will go forth like a mighty man. He will rouse up his zealous indignation and vengeance like a warrior. He will cry, yes. He will shout aloud. He will do mightily against his enemies. He will stir up zeal. He will stir up zeal. He is a mighty man who's going to stir up zeal. Did you hear this? Stir up zeal. Zeal. He tells us, have zeal for my face. You know, have zeal for my house. Zeal for my kingdom. He's stirring it up. He's stirring up the zeal. He's stirring it up. Stirring up the zeal. Stirring it up right now in this room. I want to make a declaration right now, God, that you would stir it up. That we would get a revelation of this even now, God, in this room. That you stir up your zeal. You are zealous for us, so you're stirring us up. You're stirring up your zeal. This is awesome. This is a big deal. You're mighty. Stir up your zeal in this room right now, God. In our hearts, God. We need it. We really do. Oh, thank you, God. Oh. Oh. All right. okay. That's a couple scriptures right there to describe Papa. Okay. I am going to, at the moment, just see, do any of you have any words? We're doing this for a reason. Anyone have a word for anybody out there? Okay.
Sorry, I know, right? The person kind of behind Domalee? Yes. I just see, massive amounts of joy in you. And I also, see, I was talking about, I see, like, power in you, too. Like, there's power in your joy. You know, awesome power in that.
Okay, let's do one more. We'll save the others for later. How about you?
In the second row on the end, yes. I just feel like God saying that there's power in your hands, like your hands are the most powerful weapon, spiritually. So, yeah.
What are the names of the two people that I didn't even see? Barbara? And who else? And D'Angelo. This is for the CD. If you get anybody else, ask their names, okay? We'll keep doing this. Whoops. All right. It's like a little snack, isn't it? Delicious. I want to give it one more passage here that describes Dad, okay? God is love. You know God is love? He is love. You can't separate the word love and God. It's the same. If there's a scripture in the Bible that says something about love, then it's talking about God. Okay. 1 Corinthians, we all know 1 Corinthians 13, the love scripture. You know, it says we talk with tongues of men and angels, but it's nothing. It's just noise. If there's not love involved, if there's not God involved, okay? God suffers long and is kind. God does not envy or love. I'm just describing him again, okay? God does not parade himself. He is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Kind of takes on a different twist when you put God in there, huh? Same thing, love. He does not behave rudely, does not seek his own. He is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. God never fails. You guys know who Jill Austin is? She went home to be with love last night. And yet God never fails. He knows what's going on. There are people all over the place praying for her, and she went on to be with him. She's in a perfect place. He never fails. He never fails, no matter what it looks like to us. God never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Meaning, eventually, we're out of here. You know? The things that happen here. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Good thing, because I don't feel like I know too much, you know? I won't lose too much. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But that which is perfect has come. It's talking about love. Talking about God. Okay? This is our daddy. This is love. And I touched on that scripture very specifically. Okay. We're talking about might here. And there's some components to might. There's some things. And everything I'm going to say, I think, you know, you'll probably think, yeah, I knew that. But I needed to hear that again and again and again. Why again? Because we live in a very negative world. We have very negative thoughts. And we've got to remind ourselves. We've got to. Every day. It is true. We got to always remind ourselves. We got to be reminded. We got to dive into a sea of positive, which is Daddy. In fact, I was going to save this for later, but I'm going to give it now. There's a statistic I heard, if I could find it, hang on. Oh yeah, that every minute, on average, the average American, average person, thinks 1,200 words to ourself every minute, and 1,100 of them are negative. Oops. that's in the average everyday just people out there that are kind of aimless, you know. Negative thoughts. Maybe us in here it's a little bit better, hopefully, you know? Hopefully a lot better. But tonight, after tonight, it's gonna be way better. Cause you're awesome. You know why? Cause he's awesome. He's in you. All right, let's get a couple more words.
John, you have been called by God, the God who split the Red Sea for his children, who sent fire down from heaven to lick up a completely soaking wet altar to show his power. You've been called to minister to this generation. This generation is bound by chains of lies, and you are going to set them free. I see a super, super strong calling on your life. I just see this amazing fearlessness in you. You have no fear except for the fear of God. There's no fear of man on you, and you are a leader. That's what I see in you.
Second row, black hat, white blonde hair. What's your name? I just saw that you have like this uniqueness in God, that you don't follow everybody else in what they're doing. You just do what God says, and you are different than everyone else. And I just see that God loves that about you, and he's like, keep that, don't follow everybody else. And then I saw like him planting this seed. And when it grows into like this big honeysuckle, which I learned is like this big orange flower. And I realized that orange means perseverance. So.
Awesome. Let's have one more.
Okay, so this is kind of like, this is a general thing. Oftentimes the life is compared to the battlefield, the trenches of World War I, for example. So it's just God. Since we're talking about might, God is so mighty that even as the shells are falling, the gunfire is going back and forth, the mines are going off, we will not be touched. We are untouchable. We are unbreakable, and we are always moving forward. Even if it seems like a grinding pace sometimes, we are moving forward. So.
See why I bring them up here? They are mighty, for sure. Woo! All right. As we know, and we hear here all the time, we hear a lot, and we need to hear it again tonight. We need to know who we are. We've got to know who we are. Do you guys know who you are? In Jesus? Do you know who you are in God? All right. Let me just tell you a little bit about that, okay? Psalms 29, here, this is pretty cool. Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory to his name. Worship the Lord in splendor of his holiness. We're mighty ones who give the Lord his due. We're mighty ones who worship the Lord in splendor. He's saying, oh, mighty ones, and if you are the mighty ones, then this is what you do. What else? No negative thoughts seem to work there. I think we just need to ascribe the Lord his greatness, yeah, and worship him in truth. All right. Okay. I wanted to go to a scripture that you're going to say, oh my gosh, Todd is reading this again to us. It's Ephesians 3, 15. Whoops. All right, here we are. All right. My response, this is the Message Bible version. My response is to get down on my knees before the Father, this magnificent Father who parcels out of heaven and earth. I ask him to strengthen you by his Spirit. In some versions it says, with might deep in your inner man. Not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength. Not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength. You guys, who's my age in here who remembers this cartoon about a little mouse who was mighty? And he was there to save the day. Mighty Mouse. Brute strength. Little mouse, brute strength. But yet he's a good, cool example, because sometimes we feel like a little mouse. But there's might there. You're not a mouse, though. You're way above a mouse. Not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, you guys. That Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. And I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all the followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. There's God again, okay? You'll be able to take in with all the followers the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth, test its length, plumb the depths, rise to the heights, live full lives, full in the fullness of God. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his Spirit deeply and gently within us. Ephesians 3, 14 through 23 right there, 21. Meditate on that. Read it. You know those negative thoughts, that statistic I just read? Counteract that with that scripture right there. He is our inner strength. He will be our might. His love, our might. A revelation of his love, a revelation of God. It's all about love. It's all about intimacy with God. It never will not be. Every message that can be spoken that brings us to any kind of victory at all has got to have something about intimacy with God in it and understanding him. Understanding? How do you understand him? Ha! He's endless, but he says, just keep asking for understanding. I'm going to show you more. I'm going to show you some more. Tomorrow, I'm going to show you some more, and it's going to help you. You're going to be mighty tomorrow, because tomorrow, you're going to wake up and go, I need some more understanding. Okay? So you're going to be mighty. You're going to have inner strength. What does this inner strength do? What does this inner, deep inner might do in you? Nothing else can push you around. Nothing else can push you around at all. Seriously. And you might think, well, I feel pushed around by this and by that and by him and by her. I feel pushed around. Well, you need this inner might. You need deeper understanding to know this. There's love coming after you. There's love coming after you. I mean, if you are in the worst of circumstance, for real, there's love coming after you. You know who Corrie Ten Boom is? Yeah, she did some cool stuff. You know, she hid some Jews in her house during the Holocaust, and she got caught. And she was in a concentration camp. Not a fun situation at all. I mean, as far as, you know, as far as the natural would say, she was on a road to death and not going to have a good time on the way there at all. And yet, she had this might because she knew the love of God. She really did. She would concentrate on the love of God, and she had this might inside of her, and she would minister to the women in her barracks. and this thing carried her through. She had joy in her in a concentration camp because there was this might inside of Corrie Ten Boom. Well, she got out of there, and she started preaching all over the world. Awesome, awesome, awesome. She's a hero of the faith. You can be a hero of the faith. And it's not about your glory and your fame. It's about his. And yet he says, but look at what they did. I love them. Such a wonderful son. Such a wonderful daughter of mine. Oh, I love them. All right, let's have another one. You got something, Matt? And then
Jacob, yeah. Okay, I'm going to be mighty and step out. But God said that someone in here needs a faith builder. And just, he gave me a picture of a dog. I'm not sure exactly what that means, if that means something to you. If it does, please come up and tell me. That'd be awesome. But what I take as that dog is, you know those little dogs that think they're super mighty and they're like, ruff, 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 at all the big dogs? But the big dogs won't go up and really confront him because they're just being annoying and yelling and whatever. When really, even though you may not have might, God gives you might and he's going to make the appearance that you're mighty. Even though you're small, you're going to be mighty and you're going to ward off anything that's bigger than you, anything that's you think is bigger than you, but it's really not with God.
That would be our Chihuahua, Maximus Decimus Meridius. You.
Thank you so much. Okay, so you in the tannish, grayish, long sleeve shirt. Yeah, you. Yes. You sitting next to the baby carriage. Yeah, you. Hi. What's your name? Yeah. Okay, hi, I'm Jake. Thank you for responding. I just really get that. I see a lot of people who have joy, and out of those who have joy, I see less who have true joy. And out of those who have true joy, I see really few who understand what joy is. And I just see that God's really given you the ability to actually understand, like, what joy is and why you have it. So I just want to encourage you to go deeper in that.
Thank you. All right. I'm going to try to go through this a little quicker. And I'll reveal to you what now why I'm having them do this. When something comes your way and you're given a word, when you're given something like that, what does it do in you? It sparks something in you that causes you to lift your head up. And might comes. You know what I'm saying? Might comes. Now, I just wanted to put this out here too. This is a sidebar, kinda. Christ died on the cross for us. We were crucified with Christ. We're crucified with Christ. Okay, so you get a word tonight, and tomorrow you feel like crummy, and you think, well, how can I be crucified with Christ to fill this flesh all over the place? You were crucified with Christ, period. But here's the deal. Your dead man is dead. You need to nourish this new man, okay? You need to nourish this new man. Don't just hear the word and get sparked for a second, and then that's it. If you're getting encouraged by a word that's coming to you, something the Lord is saying to you, and it doesn't mean just a word you're getting in this room tonight, it means the word of God, meditate on it, eat it, drink it. This is how you nourish that new man. This is how you keep that new man running and alive, and you don't start questioning, am I dead? You know, I thought I was crucified with Christ. Oh, just keep nourishing that new man of yours. It's imperative. It's imperative that you do that. That we do that. All right. Okay, we have sonship through the Spirit. Oh, man. I have so much to say, but so little time, so I'll keep it short. But all right. I just want to talk about a few ways to build up might in us, you know? We have some things going on in the body of Christ, that there's star-bellied sneeches who live on the beaches, and there's the sneeches who don't have stars upon thars, you know? I'm going to read a couple scriptures, which won't really dig me out of what I just said. All right. Acts 2:15. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem." This is after the Holy Spirit just poured out on everybody. And here comes new attitude. Here comes new actions. Here comes new language. Okay? And so everybody's observing these men of Judea and Jerusalem. "Let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day." In other words, they're not all crashed on wine, you know. They didn't be drinking no vodka. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters are going to prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men are going to dream dreams. And on my men servants and maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. It shall come to pass, and whoever calls on the name of the Lord are going to be saved." And then get to go into this time of where you're going to think they're drunk, because I'm going to fill them up again and again and again and again. It's what he says. He said, my Holy Spirit is going to fall on all flesh. Now, here's another scripture. 1 Peter 1:13. "Therefore, gird up your loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Star-bellied sneeches who live on the beaches. Sneeches who don't have any stars upon theirs. They want to start arguing over these two things that they see, you know, that they think they see. Sometimes we see that going on right now in the church, you know. And our attention gets caught up in that, to where days and days and days and days go by where you're spent going, "Do I get drunk? Do I stay sober? What do I do? I don't know." This is both the Lord right here, don't you think? I mean, this is his men talking. This is the Holy Spirit working. Drink of him. Drink of him. Drink of his love. Drink of his love. Get drunk on his love and keep your mind clear so you know what's going on. There you go. Now that that's to rest, let's keep going. I mean, let's be mighty again. You know what I mean? Let's not have squabbling over simple things like that. It becomes this huge mountain over here, huge mountain over here. The cool thing that happened to the sneeches on the beaches is when when the man came by with the machine to put stars on the ones who didn't have stars on theirs, the other ones got mad and said, "Well, we don't want stars now because we don't want to be like you." Think of all the time that passed. I mean, they just went around and around to this machine till finally they all got confused and they didn't know who was the original stars and thars and Mars and beaches. And everyone got to have smiles on their faces after a while. And what happened is might. Then they were empowered to go ahead and work together and make things happen, you know, do things. That's just one of the many, many, many things. There's no way we can cover all of it tonight. Just one of the things that I see going on right now where I think if we just did away with this and it's really simple, then we can walk in might. Cool? All right. We're overcomers. I just want to tell you this. We've got to know. In Deuteronomy, it says, "You're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath." Okay? Obey the Lord. Just follow him. Listen to him. And this is what you are. All you have to do is just obey him by saying, "Yeah, I'm going to believe you love me. I'm just going to believe that I'm saturated in love. And your love is going to cover me. And your love is going to keep me going. Your love is going to make me empowered." And then he goes, "Cool, you're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. You're out in front because I am." Okay? We're overcomers. We've got to turn those negative thoughts, those negative confessions to ourselves, you know, that 1100 if it's there, into positive ones. We've got to use this thing. If we were created in the image of God, who he's the one who spoke everything into existence, right? He used his mouth. I don't read where it says in Genesis, you know, he went boom and here came the stars, you know, and then wham and there was the ocean, you know, and there was man. You know what I mean? It didn't say that. It just said he just said it, you know, with his mouth. He just opened his mouth and voila, there we go, you know, and then he made us in his image. And then later on gives us instruction that, oh, your mouth is really creative, by the way. It has lots of power in it. You can really destroy things with it, or you can create with it. You could prophesy over your own life with it by declaring, I am an overcomer. Why can you declare that? Because he says so. He says so all over the place. And because he is an overcomer. You know what I'm saying? He endured. He became the mighty man. How could God endure? Well, here's one thing he endures. Just the fact that we have a stinky attitude about him. And he still loves us. He's enduring. And it made him mighty. We're his. We're his kids. We're his kids. We've got to be mighty. We're really made to be mighty. You understand this? I mean, we're not made to walk around complaining. And I know that I say this all the time when I'm preaching, but I want to say again, complain and remain, but praise and be raised. It's an utter truth. Just changing the way we do some stuff. I want to give a suggestion of fasting. Fasting is good. Fasting is really good. Feasting. Feasting is good. When we get to heaven, we're going to banquet like none other. We really are. While we're here, we're going to do both. And I just wanted to point out just a couple things here about fasting. Acts 14:23. This is cool. Paul and Barnabas handpicked leaders in the church. After praying, their prayers intensified by fasting. And then they presented the new leaders. You don't have to if you don't want to, but there's more if you do. There really is. It really is. I'm going to just give you a real personal testimony of mine really quick about fasting. Whenever I start it, whenever I just do away with food, I get suddenly really weepy. I just get my heart gets more tenderized than it was the day before, and so forth and so on. And God says, don't make a big show out of it. Wash your face and just be joyful. You know what I mean? It really does a lot for us. It does. And you know what? Every religion knows that. Every scientist knows that. But God knows it, and that's why he puts it out there. In fact, the religious leaders came to Jesus when the disciples were with him, and they said, how come they don't fast like we do? And he said, because they're hanging out with me, but I'm going to leave soon and then they will. That gives me a clear indication that it just helps you get closer. It helps you to get closer. That's there. It's part of our Christian walk. There it is. That helps might to rise up inside of us. Okay. I want to mention again, heavy drinking. We got to drink heavy. Okay. We got to really drink heavy. I mean, get up in the morning and go, you know what? I need you. And just open your mouth and let the shower of his power and his love enter you and just fill up. You need to fill up. And, you know, we need to eat during the day to keep going. We need to, you know, if we are eating and not fasting, we need to keep, you know, we need to eat a little protein. We need a little of this. Equally so, we need to drink and eat of him constantly. We've got to. This spirit inside, I mean, this thing is the flesh here, you know. I mean, we live inside of this thing. It's going to be here until we go, you know. And but what we want to feed is this spirit. We want to feed this flesh that we're alive with food. And we want to feed our spirit big time so our spirit will take over, connecting more and more and more with his spirit. And whammo, we're outside of the matrix now. Might. If you're walking around and your spirit is big, huge, because you've been feeding your spirit, might. And what's might going to do for you? When stuff happens, when something negative takes place, you're gonna be solid and firm. You're gonna be rooted and grounded in love, you know? And we're not out of here yet. There's still some stuff to come down in the world. There really is, you know? And it's already come down for you at times. You know what I'm saying? It's not all perfect. And when more and more things happen that doesn't sit well with you, or maybe takes something away from you, or whatever is going to take place in this world, we're going to be mighty people. In fact, you know, in Revelation it talks about we're going to be the glorious church when things are going down, you know? We're going to be the glorious church, mighty, mighty ones. The mighty, bright, and shining, burning lamps. Did you know that's what the Bible calls us? The shining, bright, and burning lamps. Okay. If he is an all-consuming fire, we got to eat that fire. We got to be fire eaters. And so we'll be shining, bright, burning lamps. Okay? I just wanted to I wanted to tell you this. Just a couple personal testimonies about might. We so often let what other people do to us and say, you know, affect us in such a horrendous way, and we gotta stop. If you have might going on inside of you, that's not gonna happen anymore. It really won't. It really won't. I mean, somebody can walk up and slap me in the face with the word, and somebody else can slap me in the face with their hand, and somebody else can just come over and tell me straight up, I don't like you because you this. And I will have the mighty one inside of me. I will be rooted and grounded in love, which nothing can root me away from it. Nothing can stop his love from going inside of me. And I'm putting roots down deep. And I'm like, that means, you know, you're like a tree. You're like a tree planted by a stream of living water. In fact, that's what faith does. I went through a crazy time where I had some really negative words coming against me, you know? And it did hurt. Oh, man. It was painful. Really painful. So I did good and I did kind of funny, you know? One of the challenges, one of the words against me is basically was saying what a wimp I am and what a, you know, just a pansy I was and so forth and so on, like that. So I go out and start getting tattoos. You know? I wasn't even a tattoo person, but I start getting tattoos. And literally, when I was sitting there, I have one here. It says Hephzibah. And it means, you know, he delights in me. At least I got that kind. And I remember when the guy was doing this one, I thought, yeah, you'll see. I'm tough. I really did. That wasn't the right way to go about it, but I got some interesting reminders, you know. Over here, I've got a bowl filled with the prayers with a harp that's being worshiped, you know, the angels are worshiping. It's Revelation 5. So, you know, I got some cool artwork from it. But that wasn't might. That was external, trying to look tough. But the cool part was, I decided I'm going to surrender to the love of God. I've just got to. And at 4:00 in the morning, I would go to where there was a keyboard, and I would start writing songs to the Lord. I would start singing my heart out to him and connecting and feeling his love in me, and songs would come, you know? And I recorded some of those songs now, and it's cool. A couple people this week told me, hey, that song, you know, this one is really doing something deep in me. And I thought, ha! That's what might does. That was me being mighty for a second there, and now it's going into somebody else. Hey! You know what I'm saying? It's infectious. One more short one. At the gym, You know, it took a long time for me to even get a membership to a gym because I don't like working out in front of people. I don't, you know, I've been kind of nervous about what, you know, people looking over at me and it, and they, you know, they do, they look at you and they really do, but mostly they look at themselves. They really do. I mean, there's mirrors all over the place and they're look, you know, they're, yeah. But I have from time to time, after I did get a membership and I'm like, I'm going to just do this. I don't, whatever, who cares what they think. I still, you know, I have ways to go on some stuff and I still feel funny when, I can't tell you how many times this has happened where there's 9 treadmills and I get on one and there's no one else and I'll start going and then somebody gets on the one right next to me. I'm like, what? How, why not? You know? So I kind of feel weird, intimidated, you know, and a little angry, kind of. And I think, you know, I think, what's the, you know, the nerve? And inevitably, every time I've gone into that thinking, I cannot go as far as I've gone other times. You know, like all of a sudden, like, and where I, when I went 2 miles the day before, I'm going, you know, 0.7 now, and I can't go anymore. It really does something to me. Well, I'm just going to tell you something cool that happened today. It was just this morning. Happened again. I went as soon as they opened. It's 24-hour fitness, but they opened at 7 this morning. It's true. Figure that out. They're open 24 hours during the week, I guess. But I went there right when they open, thinking, cool, there won't be too many people, you know. Same thing. Nobody is on this set of treadmills. I get there. Sure enough, here comes this lady right next to me. And here come the thoughts again. And I think, you. And I'm telling you, the coolest thing happened today. I instantly I thought of the word might. You know, I thought about tonight, talking about might to you. And all of a sudden I thought, hey, I'm going to splash the Holy Spirit on her. I'm going to splash what I got in me on her. So I'm going like this and I went, shandarada shadara sha. Hey, whoa. It was so fun. It was so much fun. And I don't know what happened to her, but but I was having a blast. And I when I was done on the treadmill, I thought, oh my gosh, I can't believe how far I went. This is awesome. I felt strength, you know. I like my mind was now distracted by, hey, I'm going to bless somebody. Might is coming out of me over there. We got to be mighty. We just have to. We've got to be mighty. Oh, goodness gracious. Okay, it's 9:06. I'm trying to wrap this up. Everything in our life... who's seen Kung Fu Panda? Kung Fu Panda? All right, man, not even half of you. Well, if I recommend it, then you watch it and you go, this has got some weird, you know, kind of, you know, other religious stuff in it. But some interesting quotes, you know, from the turtle who said, you know, there's not really any accidents. I love when that old turtle said that. You know, and what was going on in the movie sure looked like an accident, but man... You know, against all odds, there was a cool ending, a cool victory in this movie. And he knew what he was talking about, you know. And I'm thinking all the stuff that happens to us, you know, there is a way that we can use it to keep climbing up higher and becoming mightier, mightier, mightier. I'll just reveal one little thing here. You know, last week we had a commissioning for eldership here, you know, and I feel really honored, and I want to bless you guys. I want to give you everything I could possibly give you as that, you know. And I will tell you this, you know, I got to admit, just, you know, coming up here, and I'm looking out, and I'm seeing people that are older than me, or have, let me say it this way, have been on the planet longer than I have been. You know, and then I hear the word elder said over and over again, and I go, oh, huh, 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 you know, which is an attempt in my mind to start stealing that might away, you know. I've got to be mighty. I want to give it to you. You know what I'm saying? But the cool thing is, and I don't know, is Matt Klosterman still in the room? Did he leave? You know, Matt Klosterman, he was the drummer tonight. 19 years old. He's just about 20. That's my man. You know, I hang with him. And I'm twice his age. That's one of the people in my... He's in my... His voice, no matter what he says, is loud into my heart. You know what I'm saying? He's one of those kind of friends in my life, like Brent is, you know? Brent's a mentor to me. But Matt is way younger than me. The kid, the guy, the man, has a lot of wisdom because he spends a lot of time soaking in the love of God. So I allow him to speak into my life on all levels. And when I was standing up here, I thought of that. And God said, see, it just keeps going this way. He's like a Timothy with me, you know. Every situation, there's something that you can turn it around and go, man, I'm going to be mighty then. I'm going to believe in this then. I'm going to believe that you are calling me right now. You are calling me. He is calling you. I mean, he's calling you no matter who you are in this room. He's calling all of us. Okay, I'm going to have a couple more of these words, okay? Anyone here? Sarah?
You in the brown sweater, fifth row, you're looking at me, but I don't think, yeah, okay. What's your name? Oh, okay. So I saw a very important, kind of powerful vision about you. I saw you on this building, and there's like a pole, and that's like the only way to kind of get off that building and go to the other one. So you're on this really thin pole, and you're struggling to try to stay balanced and try to, you know, keep your path to cross it. And I just saw that you're kind of like struggling in life. I don't know, something happened. You're like struggling. You're trying to like keep on your path. You're trying to like cross. You're trying to get over it. But you should remember that God is always with you. He'll always try to help you. He might work in different ways, but he's always going to be there for you. And he's always going to help you get along with your life. So I thought that was really important for me to say that to you.
You in the second row in the red shirt. Yeah, what's your name? Oh, yeah, Lem. I just saw that when somebody speaks negative things about something or somebody, nobody could hear it because it's just a little faint voice because it's negative. But whenever you speak, you always say positive things so people can hear you. And they want to hear what you have to say in your light in the darkness.
Hey, Blaine. I see you working with youth, like a youth pastor like my dad, but I see it, like, very strongly. Yeah.
I'm sorry about fifth row black... back, blonde hair, black shirt. Girl? Woman? Sorry. Second from the back. You're looking back and forth. Yes, you. What's your name? Michaela? Hi, I'm Matt. I got the word, and it was John 3:16, but God said that he wants to change everything to you. So for God so loved you that he gave his one and only son, that you shall not perish but have eternal life. So he, and if you read the rest of that, it's very, very uplifting.
Okay, here's another thing to meditate on right here. This is just imperative, okay, to meditate on what God says about us. This is Joel 3:10. Beat your plowshares into swords. In other words, take what you've got and make it mightier. You know what I mean? Beat your plowshares into swords. And there's so much into that. You can meditate on that for a while. Beating the thing. You know what I mean? It takes a little strength, a little pain maybe even. Beat it into swords. Now you're mighty. Look at this. All right. But it continues on. And pruning hooks into spears. And then it says, let the weak say, I am mighty. I don't think you're all weak, but let's just say it. I am mighty. Yes, and amen to that. All right. Okay, and one more I want to say about getting these words. This is really cool right here. 1 Timothy 1:18. Charge this, I commit to you, son Timothy. This is Paul talking to Timothy. According to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. Okay? Having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected concerning the faith and suffered a shipwreck. Is Revelation waving over everyone? He's saying, the things that God has said about you, the things you've heard, the prophecies over your life, keep those, keep them. Because some have rejected those things and they had a shipwreck. Isn't that interesting? We've got to just keep those things. We've got to meditate on that. Everything he's said to us so far, everything, and really, this is the most amazing gift. It's awesome. This Bible is the most amazing. This is life. This is food. This is yummy. This is our manual. and we have many of them. A lot of people don't even have them. We are blessed. Meditate on his word. It's perfect. It's for you. It's for your heart. It's for your nourishment. Cool. I have a lot more to say, but I'm gonna close it down for now. I want to just declare a couple more things over you. That mighty man of valor, that's your papa, okay? And him stirring up zeal, you can say this of yourself, you know? Stir up the zeal inside of me then, God, because I've got a part of your zeal. Stir it up inside of me. Stir it up inside of me. You've got to have zeal. Zeal. I want to declare over you that there's zeal that's being stirred up inside of you because you're God's kids. You're the kingdom of God. You are. You are the kingdom of God. And I declare there is zeal stirring up inside of you. Zeal. Zeal stirring up inside of you. He is a man of zeal. This puts us way above just groveling. Way above it. We're mighty. We're mighty. There's even a place he says we're holy. Oh, holy? Yeah, we're made holy. We're made holy. And if you doubt that, just start declaring that you're holy. And guess what? It's going to take away everything else that seems not holy. Does that make sense? I mean, just start concentrating on the fact that you're holy. And all of a sudden, the unholiness is going to go away. Holy. You're holy. Because he's holy. He said it. We sang it in a song tonight. It's the truth. Sin sucks. And it does because it takes away this mighty in us. You know what I mean? It makes us feel like we're not mighty anymore. It causes us to start believing we're not mighty. So that's a really good reason to stay away from sin right there. You know what I'm saying? That's his whole reason for us to stay away from sin, because he wants us to be mighty. And he says, you know, I don't like how that makes you feel, what it's done to you. I don't like how that's put you in prison all these years where you can't be used outside, but I'll use you in there. So, I just want to declare that over you. Might, mighty. These are the mighty ones. These are the mighty ones. These, God, are the mighty ones. Your children are mighty like you are. Your children reflect your face. Let the light of your face shine on us. Let the light of your countenance be on us and shine on our hearts, God. Let the light of your face shine on us. You are an all-consuming fire. You're brighter than the sun itself. Let the light of your face shine on us. Let the light of your countenance shine on our face. Shine on our hearts. This is your word. We thank you for it. We receive it with might. We take it. We go, this is ours. We believe it. We're going to walk with might. This is mighty, mighty, mighty. I'm going to play a little song for you to soak in. Are you guys ready with that? It's 11 minutes long, but we're just going to end with that. And some of these teenagers up here are going to be available to just minister to you as we end. But I want to just encourage you, just put your head back a little bit. Soak in this. This is a session from IHOP, Kansas City, where they were reading Ephesians 3:17. And we're going to just soak in it. It's going to minister deeply to you.
To him who is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, place of prayer, asking, O Father of glory, that we would be firmly rooted in the love of your Son Jesus. Make your church strong this hour, we pray.
Jesus.
face of every believer in the arms of your Son. Go to those hard places.
Take the hardest heart, and tenderize it deep, deep, deep inside. Put a spirit within. Take out the stony heart, and fill my heart, flesh with the rest.
Yes, Jesus, speak to us.
We were made to love you and be loved by you. We were made
Jesus.
To love you and Jesus. Be loved by you. We were made to love you and be loved by you. We were made to love you and
even
be
now,
loved
tenderize
by
the
you.
Hardest of hearts. In sin today, I'm asking now, win their affections with love.
Draw them away, take them deep into this love.
Those who are searching for the reason, if they could only know your love, I know they would return.
This everlasting love. Addictive sin.
Let them see the nail scarred hands,
the beauty of this man.
Yes.
And the love of this man. Let them feel the affections of Jesus.
Jesus, you love them. Inside of us. Jesus, yes. Loving kindness. He draws the hardest apart. Cords of love and tenderness.
This love will set you free. 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 This love will set you free.
Yummy! So, some of these teenagers are going to be up here. I was getting this during that song, and the coolest thing, one of them just came and said the exact same thing to me. That they would be here to minister to you, but also for you to come and be mighty for them to come and minister to some of them. And one of the kids said, hey, you ought to invite some of them to come to minister to us too and just practice this boldness. So, if you guys want to spread out, and maybe we can get some music up there. Just want to declare over you all that you're mighty. And I just love Jesus. He loves you. So be it. Might. So don't be shy. We're done.